The Gemara Masachas Sota on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph has a din regarding Birchas Kohanim that became a major flashpoint in trying to understand the whole concept of Shemei Kohanah, and played a major role in just how that issue was analyzed. The Gemara tells us that the Birchas Kohanim has to be done specifically B'kol Ram. The language the Gemara is Tani Ida Kosavarchu B'kol Ram O in Ela Balachash. So could it be that it could be pronounced in a soft voice? Talmud Lomar Amor Lahem Ka'adam Sh'omer L'chaveiro. It has to be actually communicated in a audible voice. So apparently, because of this, the Beis Halevi maintained that Shemei Kohanah would not be effective for Birchas Kohanim. This is in his comments in his Sefer Al HaTorah in the section on Hilchos Chanukah that's published at the end of the comments Al HaTorah. The comments Al HaTorah only go into the middle of Sefer Shmos, and then there are a few other comments, Chanukah and other things. And there is by itself a statement where the Beis Halevi declares that Shemei Kohanah would not be an option for Birchas Kohanim. And in making the statement, so a little bit of historical background, he was taking on an anonymous chacham. This anonymous chacham, we can tell you, was actually Reb Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna, and that he had related that when he was in Trieste, he saw that the Kohanim there would recite Birchas Kohanim through Shemei Kohanah. They would have one Kohen recite the Birchas Kohanim and the others would listen to it, and that could perhaps explain what it means in the Mishnah in Megillah, where it talks about the special opportunities that were given to the one who did the maftir, and among them was Hu Yitzas Kapov. So how could we explain where that's going to play out as a honor that's given to a specific individual? Only one of Shach, either it's a Kohen or he's not a Kohen. So if he's a Kohen, it's all the Kohen duchen. If he's not a Kohen, then he can't duchen. So the second question is harder to answer, but the first question, don't all the Kohanim duchen? So his suggestion was that perhaps there was a possibility of using Shemei Kohanah for Berachas Kohanim, and that's what the Mishnah means. So the Beis Halevi said, no, that's not how it works, and that the problem is this din of Kol Ram. So the way the Beis Halevi was understood, and this itself is a topic of debate, but we'll first work with this understanding, is that Shemei Kohanah only works for actual statements, for expressions of speech. So therefore, if there are any additional requirements beyond speech, Shemei Kohanah is not going to work for that. So if we say that Birchas Kohanim is not just about speech, but the speech has to be done a certain way, has to be done B'kol Ram, so then we can't use Shemei Kohanah for that. And this was a major machlokes, and the Chazon Ish was among those who disagreed with this. The Chazon Ish, in his Sefer Nor Chaim and Simon Choftas, so he noted that if this is going to be the case, so various practices that we have would be called into question. So, for example, maybe the two most well-known usages of Shemei Kohanah, we use it Friday night often to make Kiddush when we're in a crowd, and even more so to read the Megillah on Purim. There's usually one person in the shul reading the Megillah and everyone else is hearing him. So if that's the case, so those are being done through Shemei Kohanah, and both of those seem to have additional requirements beyond just speech. The Kiddush has to be recited Ahakos, and the Megillah has to be read from a kosher Megillah. So how is it that we are able to hear Kiddush and not have a full cup of wine in front of us? If there is a rule that Shemei Kohanah doesn't extend to anything beyond speech, and how is it that we can sit and hear the Megillah and we don't have to have a kosher Megillah in front of us if we don't have a concept of Shemei Kohanah extending to anything beyond speech? So presumably you have to say that it's a different functionality here, and that the way Shemei Kohanah works is that you connect to the speaker, and therefore whatever is happening is also going to be transmitted to the listener. So if the speaker is reciting Kiddush Al HaKos, so then that gets transmitted to the listener also. If the speaker is reading the Megillah from a kosher Megillah, so then that also gets transmitted to the listener. It's interesting, there was a position that the Ragachaver has in one of his Sfarim that discusses why it is that when it comes to the Asiris B'nai Haman, it's done B'nai Shema Achas, so the practice is that all of the people in the shul read that on their own. So he suggested, similar to what we're seeing here from the Beis Halevi, that Neshima Achas is its own extra detail, and therefore that can't be done through Shemei Ka'ona. So when we're listening to the Megillah, the rest of it can be done through Shemei Ka'ona, but Neshima Achas we're going to have to do on our own. So it's a little hard, I think, to understand that, because if one's going to take that position, so then one should have to assume you have to have a kosher Megillah in front of you also, because that position would have led to that requirement as well. And if we're going to divide between them, I would have thought maybe to divide the other way. Maybe you could say, okay, so a kosher Megillah, so that is a din in the actual requirement of reading, but I shouldn't necessarily need to do the Neshima Achas myself, because that is a part of how he is pronouncing it. So hearing it Neshima Achas, that should be able to be yotzei through the speaker, but maybe I should require a kosher Megillah. But to say the other way, that I don't require a kosher Megillah, but I do have to do the Neshima Achas myself, it seems a little bit harder to understand. But in any event, that was the position of the Ragachaver, which seems to be in line with this view of the Beis Halevi. So here you have what seems to be a major machlokas as far as how to understand Shemaya Ka'ona. Is Shemaya Ka'ona about just speech, or is it able to bring with other conditions that are coming along with the speech, such as the Kol Ram, perhaps, such as the idea of a Kiddush cup, a cup of wine, such as a Kosher Megillah? Could that also come along with it? So the truth is, this could go back to the fundamental question of how to really even translate the term Shemaya Ka'ona. It's a very basic issue that needs to be determined when you try to understand the sugya of Shemaya Ka'ona. How do you even translate the words? So does Shemaya Ka'ona mean that Shomaya is Ka'ona, that Shmiya is Ka'aniya? Are we comparing verbs? Is that what's going on? It sounds like that's what the Beis Halevi is perhaps saying here, that Shmiya is Ka'aniya, that listening is like speaking, so therefore it only works for speech. But anything that is not speech, so then wouldn't necessarily follow that its concept should apply to it. But perhaps we could translate Shemaya Ka'ona differently and not say that it's comparing verbs, but it's comparing people. So it's not necessarily Shmiya is Ka'aniya, but HaShemaya is Ke'ha'ona. The one doing the listening is like the one doing the speaking. So therefore, if the one doing the speaking has these conditions in place, he has the kosher Kiddush cup, he has the kosher Megillah, he has the Kol Ram, so then that should carry on over as well. So perhaps this is a very fundamental machlokas in terms of how to just translate the terms and how to know, therefore, how the lumdus would work, how the mechanism would work. And if we look back in history, work backwards, let's say, from this relatively recent machlokas of the Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish, if we go back in history, we could find this appearing a few times. So to go back about 100 years earlier, so there was a machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov Emden and, earlier than him, the Taz, about the question of Kriyas HaTorah, that the Taz maintained that giving an aliyah to a person who is a summa, a person who is not able to see, so the Taz maintained in Siman Kuf Mem Aleph that that could work, that that's effective, that even though the person who is a summa is not able to see the Sefer Torah and wouldn't be able to lain because you can't lain by heart, so really the Ola is supposed to lain, so that should be a fundamental problem. But, says the Taz, nowadays the Balkore lanes and the Ola listens and is fulfilling through Shemaya Ka'ona. So because of that, so that enables a blind person to get an Aliyah. He's doing it through Shemaya Ka'ona, so it doesn't matter that he can't see the Sefer Torah. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in the Tshuva Sheilas Yavetz, in Siman Ayin Hey, he disagreed with this, and he thought that, no, that it's not going to work, because even if you say Shemaya Ka'ona, but that's only going to count as if he's saying it by heart. It's going to give him the credit for saying the words, but he's not seeing in the Sefer Torah, so therefore it's like he's laning by heart, and laning by heart's not going to be effective. So apparently it's the same machlokas. The question is, how do you understand Shemeya Kaona? Rabbi Yaakov Emden is lining up with the Beis Halevi here, saying that Shemeya Kaona is comparing verbs. You're just counted as if you are speaking the words, but it's still Baal Peh, so that's not going to help. While perhaps what the Taz is saying, the Taz is lining up with the Chazon Ish and understanding that we're comparing people, we're comparing the listener to the speaker, and just as the speaker is reading from inside the Sefer Torah, so too the listener is also considered reading from inside the Sefer Torah, and that should also count. Now if you go further back, ready to the Rishonim. So this was a machlokas among the Rishonim in a very different way, a different kind of application, that the Tosfos and Rashi have a machlokas about what should happen if somebody was in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and then Kedusha already started, and the question comes up as far as how can you answer Kedusha if you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei and you can't be mafsik. So Rashi and Sukkah, on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, so Rashi understands that you can pause, you're not allowed to interrupt your Shemona Esrei, but you can pause and listen, and you'll be Yotze through Shemeya Kaona. And Tosfos and Brachas and Daf Chaf Amud Beis, Tosfos quotes this, and Tosfos disagrees and says, no, that's a disaster, because if you're going to be Yotze through Shemeya Kaona, so then that will be a Hefsik. So you can't do that. So then that's Davka going to be a problem. So it seems like this may be another manifestation in a different way of the same machlokas here, that Tosfos is complaining that there's going to be a hefsek here, because Tosfos is saying that Shemeya Kaona means we're comparing verbs. So if you're listening, it's like you're talking. So if you can't talk in the middle of Shemona Esrei, then you can't use Shemeya Kaona in the middle of Shemona Esrei either. But if you understand that we're comparing people, that we're saying the listener was like the speaker, and it's a way of being Yotze, so then maybe we could understand Rashi's position and see that it's possible to split the difference here. You could be Yotze answering Kedusha, while at the same time, it wouldn't be a Hefsik. It's interesting, there's a position of the Shibboleth Halakhet that felt differently here, that Shibboleth Halakhet was a third position, and felt that you couldn't be Yotze either way, because this was an example of that we have a rule in general that when something needs to have a lecharchila form and a b'di'evid form, so then you can only have the b'di'evid be applicable to you if it was possible to do lecharchila. So we could only say Shemeya Kaona if it's possible to have done the lecharchila, if it was possible to have said it yourself. So here it's impossible to say yourself. You can't be mafsik in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So therefore, Shemeya Kaona wasn't even an option. So it's a double chiddush, that application, because it's applying Roy Labila in a halachic sense, not that it's physically impossible, but that it was halachically impossible. And also the assumption is that Shemeya Kaona is some kind of a b'di'evid. But you could argue on both those points, but especially on the second, and understand that Shemeya Kaona is not necessarily a b'di'evid, it's an alternative way of doing it. And this was taken up by the Shagas Aryeh in Siman Vav, where the Shagas Aryeh assumed differently. There he was talking about a physical issue. He was trying to address if a person is an Elaim, a person is not able to speak, can he be Yotze Kriyashma through Shemeya Kaona? So therefore, there he assumed that yes, he didn't think it was a problem of Klaroi Labila, because Shemeya Kaona isn't necessarily a B'di'evit, it's an alternative path that can be considered Kharchila as well. There's another point to argue, because the Gra, in his commentary to the Mishnayos, the beginning of Brachos, the Gra understood that, for other reasons, Kriyashma is not subject to Shemeya Kaona. So the Shagas Aryeh was arguing on that point as well. But in any event, so we see at least three iterations here, working backwards in history, of this question of how do you translate the phrase Shemeya Kaona? So are we saying Shemiya is Kaniya? We're comparing verbs, which would seem to be the view of the Beis Halevi, and then before him, the view of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that Asuma can't get an Aliyah, and before him, the view of Tosfos, that using Shemeya Kaona in the middle of Shemona Esrei would be a hefsek. While alternatively, you could understand it that we're comparing people, that Shmiya is ke'aniya, and rather that Hashemeh is ke'ha'one, rather, we're comparing people, the one who's listening is like the one who is speaking. And if that's the case, so perhaps that was the view of the Chazon Ish, that all the other conditions came along, and the view of the Taz, that Asuma can get an aliyah, because it's considered as if he is reading mitoch ha'ksav, because that's what the Baal Kori is doing, and the position of Rashi, that it's not a hefsek to use Shemei Ka'on in the middle of Shemona Esrei, because you're getting credit for the mitzvah, but you're not actually speaking, and therefore it shouldn't be considered a hefsek. So this also could be traced to also a fundamental question in how to understand Shemei Ka'ona. And one could ask, what exactly is the operating system? What is the mechanism by which Shemei Ka'ona works? How exactly does it function? And perhaps we could suggest that there are two possible models, maybe more, but maybe at least two possible models, how to relate to Shemei Ka'ona's functionality. So on the one hand, we could say that it functions based on Hira Kedibur. That's the sugya in the Gemara and Brachos on Daf Chaf. That maybe since there's a possibility that just thinking about a bracha, let's say, could actually have the status of reciting it, so then maybe Shemei Ka'ona works the same way, that when you're listening to somebody else's bracha, so you're memela thinking about it, and therefore that should give you the credit as if you're saying it. So that could be, that's a possibility. There are a number of problems with that. The Tosfos Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks on the discussion in the Gemara Brachos on Daf Chaf over there, that the Gemara talks about what's the nafkamina of the question of whether a woman is chayiv in benching minatara midrabanan, and the Gemara says a nafkamina is if a woman wants to be motzi her husband in benching, and he's chayiv in benching minatara, if she's only chayiv midrabanan, she won't be able to be motzi him, which is a reflection of the general idea that we have, that to be motzi somebody else, you have to be chayiv on an equal level. So the question is, why don't we just say if her kedibur works, so then it doesn't matter if the person you're listening to is chayiv, you're able to listen to them, and that will prompt you to think about it while you're listening to them. So it doesn't have to be a person who's chayiv, it even could be a computer, and you could be thinking about the words, and that should work. Why do you need to have somebody who's mechuyiv bedaber? So that itself is a question, and some suggest that because Shemei Ka'ona and Hira Kedibur are actually different mechanisms. So in a Hanami, if you're trying to use Hira Kedibur, so then yes, it wouldn't matter who it is you're listening to. But if you're putting on your Shemei Ka'ona button, so then it dafka has to be somebody who's mechuyav bedaber, because maybe they're different mechanisms. So that's one suggestion, that they're really not coming from the same place. Also, a problem of associating them is that Shemei Ka'ona is universally accepted. It's a Gemara, actually, in the Masechet Sukkah, and telling us that there is a din derived from a pasuk of Shemei Ka'ona, while Hira Kedibur is a machlokus in the Gemara. So not everyone agrees with Hira Kedibur, but everyone does agree with Shemei Ka'ona. So it's a little tricky to attach Shemei Ka'ona to Hira Kedibur for those reasons. So another possibility is that we could suggest that maybe it is Ka'ein Shlichus, that or it's a type of Shlichus here, that just like you can have somebody else perform a mitzvah on your behalf, so too you can have somebody else recite a bracha on your behalf. So that's an interesting possibility. There are some who suggest that way. If you look in the writings of the Kazi Glover in a Sefer Siach HaSadas, he has a whole discussion where he assumes that Shemei Ka'ona is indeed Shlichus, and he uses that to explain a number of dinim in Shemei Ka'ona in a fascinating way. So, for example, the position that we mentioned of Rashi, that it's not a hefsik to use Shemei Ka'ona in the middle of Shemona Esrei, so the Kazi Glover there says that's because Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, so it's because it didn't Shlichus, so therefore it's not going to count as a hefsik. You could be Yotzei a mitzvah, but it's not going to count as a hefsik because Ein Shlichus L'Dvar Avera, or a Tosfos and Brachas, it says that you can't use Shemei Ka'ona for half a bracha. It says that's because Ein Shlichus L'Chatzi Davar. It has some fascinating applications of that idea that Shemei Ka'ona is coming from a position of Shlichus. So there you have to address a few questions also. So first of all, it sounds a little bit like this is really a mitzvah shebegufo, and we know the Yesod of the Tosfos Rid that the Excels talks about, that Shlichus doesn't work for something that you have to do with your body, like taking a lulav. So here, if you have to say something, it would seem like that's a mitzvah shebegufo. And secondly, normally, if you have shlichus, so you don't have to even be there. So if I have somebody perform a mitzvah on my behalf, I could be somewhere else. So here, with Shemaya Kaona, I have to be there to listen to what's being said. So it doesn't sound like it's a perfect match for shlichus either. However, we could, perhaps in some discuss, maybe we could address that also, that maybe when it comes to a mitzvah of speech, we actually break it down into two parts. Good model for this is, let's say, Kiddush. So Kiddush is a mitzvah of speech, but the actual language of the Torah is Zocher Shem HaShabbos L'Kadsho. So we fulfill that through saying words, but the goal of the mitzvah is Zechira. So perhaps what's going on is that we're supposed to say something in order to hear ourselves saying it and to remember it. So the real tachlis of the mitzvah is that we hear ourselves and that we therefore remember it. So perhaps the speech part, that we could farm out to someone else, because that's really a means to an end. But the actual mitzvah is fulfilled in our hearing the words. Maybe normally we would be saying them, but the goal is so that we will hear ourselves saying them, and through that, to, like the language of the Pasuk indicates, to remember Shabbos. So perhaps that's how it's functioning through something like Shemaya Kaona, that something like Shlichus, that we're able to have somebody else do the part of the speech, but the part that's the mitzvah shebegufo is the hearing it, so that we have to do on our own, and that's why we have to be in the room. We have to actually be there to hear it, and it's not like other mitzvahs where you could have shlichus and you wouldn't have to even be there. But still, that sounds a little bit different, and the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, and others suggest also that it's similar to shlichus, but it's not exactly shlichus. He calls it a hitstarfus kein shlichus, and the truth is, you don't have to actually connect it to any other mechanism, because, like we noted, the Gemara in Sukkah does derive Shemaya Kaona, the Sukkah Lamed Ches Amud Beis, does derive Shemaya Kaona from its own pasuk. It has its own source, so it doesn't really have to be piggybacking on anything else. It doesn't have to have an operating system that comes from somewhere else, but it could be perhaps modeled closer to one of these or the other, closer to Shlichus or to something like Hirhur Kedibur. So these two mechanisms probably are reflected in the different understandings, that if you say that there is a comparison of verbs here, that Shmiya is Ka'aniya, so that seems to be similar to a functionality of Hirhur Kedibur, that just like thinking about it is like speech, so Shemaya Ka'ona, so listening is a type of thinking about it, which is like speech, and we are comparing verbs, and that seems to be the view of the Beis Halevi and Rabbi Yaakov Emden and of the Tosfos. But if you say it's like shlichus, so then shlichus, the whole notion is that you are connecting to somebody else's performance of the mitzvah. So too, that's what's going on here. We are comparing people. We're saying that Hashemeya is Ke Ha'ona, and therefore we are getting the whole package, and that is in line with the view of the Chazanish and the view of the Taz by the Summa getting an Aliyah, and the view of Rashi that it's not a Hefsek. So perhaps all of this lines up in such a way that it all connects to how we translate the phrase, and how we translate the phrase is all going to connect to what the basic operating mechanism here. Is it something similar to Hirhur Kedibur, or is it something similar to Shlichus, or is it perhaps a totally new creation, but still coming from one of these models, and that perhaps can help us to understand what's going on. Just before finishing, we'll just note two footnotes to this whole discussion. So first of all, there was a big debate as to whether the Beis Halevi really meant this position that is attributed to him. So if you look at the number of Sfarim that note suggest, and this happened to be Sfarim that are coming from members of the Soloveitchik family or the Brisker circle, so those who are perhaps closer to the Beis Halevi, they assert that the Beis Halevi never meant to say this kind of a principle, that this din doesn't extend to things that are beyond speech itself, that this is specific to this issue of Berachos Kohanim, of this daf, that the problem is, and it really is consistent with the language of the Gemara here on the daf, that it's not just that it's an extra condition, but that it's about communication. So therefore, if it was just that it had to be a loud sound, a loud voice, so then maybe there'd be room to say that something like that could come along just as a kosher Megillah or a cup of wine for Kiddush Chiddush could come along. But here we're saying not just that it has to be a loud voice, but that functionally there has to be communication between the Kohen and the people. So that's a practical matter which can't happen through Shemei Kohen. And like the Gemara uses the term lachesh, it really is a little bit more consistent with the language of the Gemara here, that imagine if Cohen was whispering. So if he was whispering, so that would for sure be speech, but it wouldn't necessarily rise to the level of communication that the Gemara is requiring. So perhaps that's the issue, and therefore maybe that's why the Beis Halevi has this position that Shemei Kohen can't work for that, but it wouldn't necessarily extend to the whole view that has been associated with him. We could also note that we know that Beis Halevi was the Rashi of Elazhin at the same time as the Netziv, and they agreed on some things, disagreed on other things. So here, they agreed and disagreed, in a sense, because Netziv has a tshuva where he also says that Shemei Kohone can't work for Berachas Kohanim, but he says it for a different reason. So the tshuva is in Simin Mem Zayin, where he says that there's a Yerushalmi that says that Shemei Kohone doesn't work for Tefillah, a whole discussion what that means, but includes in that category is that Berachas Kohanim is in the category of Tefillah, and therefore it's not going to be effective for that purpose. A very fascinating whole history behind this one line in the Gemara here and the Daf and Sota, and how this impacted the whole debate about Shemei Kohen and how far it could go and what it means and just what its impact is.